Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Podcast. As always, I'm Armando Angulo, joined by Justin and Wells, a little coast-to-coast action. We're here going to talk about a little baseball. Twins, Cody Bellinger, they're all on fire. Justin, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. You know, I got to I got the rare joy of meeting a seventh-inning stretch favorite in a very, very odd place last weekend, walking down the street in the 18th arrondissement of Paris near Montmartre. I see... a very, very, very recognizable person just walking across the street with a camera around his neck. And he was someone you can easily, you know, find out because he's also 6'10". None other than the man who made a bird explode, Randy Johnson. I will say this, like, I understand where a lot of guys don't necessarily want to be noticed. And, you know, he sticks out in the crowd. I'm pretty sure walking through Paris, he pretty much wouldn't think that a lot of people would recognize, you know, a former major league baseball pitcher of, like, you know, really a decade ago. But, you know, if you're walking around touristy areas where there might be some Americans, one might recognize you. Nice enough guy to say hi to me. But, you know, it's rumored to be a little standoffish, and he's a little standoffish. I get it.
It's what you'd expect probably from Randy Johnson. I mean, he just wants to take photos, man.
All he wants to do.
All right, man, let's jump right in. I'm glad you're back.
Do you want to hit the hard topic first?
Yeah. So there's two hard topics we got to discuss here. We got to discuss the domestic violence situation with Julio Urias because we haven't recorded in a while.
And Odor,
correct. Urias was suspended for about a week, I think, while MLB did their initial investigation. Haven't really heard anything about it, but it's still, I mean, innocent until proven guilty, I guess. And if MLB doesn't have any evidence, I guess it is what it is. And LAPD doesn't either so far. So it's just really weird, man. I still feel dirty about it. I don't even like the words being associated with somebody on my team like that. I don't know. And then the Dubro Herrera it's worse. It's just as bad. It's like, I don't know, man. It's just all disgusting. And I know that they automatically get suspended for a little bit, a week, 2 weeks, till the initial investigation goes or whatever, but paid leave. But I think they got to be more serious, man. I mean,
they do. They have to be much more serious. I mean, if you think about it right now in Major League Baseball, right? There's Odubel Herrera, you had Jose Reyes, who basically, after, you know, his case is probably the worst of them all. And he was suspended for basically half a season, and then ended up getting cut by the Rockies and coming back to the Mets, where inexplicably the Mets decided to act like it didn't happen. And they did the same thing with Jeurys Familia. They signed Jeurys Familia again, too, after, you know, he's another guy who did that as well. So you have Jeurys, Familia, Odubel Herrera, Addison Russell.
Oh, God.
Addison Russell's is actually objectively the worst.
It makes me so angry.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Ozuna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's some bad examples of it, and I think that Major League Baseball really has to go to, like, you know, kind of a no-tolerance policy. I understand where it's the whole concept of you can't take away a person's, like, right to earn a living, right? Like, I get that. But on the other hand, like, every single job has some sort of, you know, one that's going to pay you as well as a baseball player is going to pay you, has some sort of, you know, clause around what's actually acceptable behavior. And usually, you know, that involves not committing domestic violent acts. And I look, there's a certain satisfaction I took from the Mets knocking around Urias the other night, because, like, I don't want to see that guy succeed.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any of these guys.
You know what sucks is, like,
Urias Familia, because it kill, and he plays for my team, and it's my eighth inning guy. Like, I don't want him to, like, I want the Mets to win games, but I don't want him to succeed.
Yeah, man. I mean, Julio Urias, it sucks. Double time. Like, he's from, you know, my hometown in Mexico. He's from Culiacan. Like, I've been watching and following the kid since he was, like, a kid. Like, and it's just really disappointing. But more so, this isn't just a baseball problem, Justin. Like, this is a sports problem. This is a professional,
a societal problem.
Yeah, you know, but I think these guys are really out in the public. These are, like, examples that can be made, you know, because they make so much, and it can be such a drastic impact on these people to really just take it away. But they don't. Like, we're really weak on it. I mean, Kareem Hunt's on the Browns. He's going to play a half a season. That isn't anything for these guys. I mean, he's fresh for the playoffs. That's what that means. Like, is that punishment? I don't understand, I mean, Justin.
I get it, too. I mean, look, there's a point to which I get it, and this is kind of the dynamic by which it works. All of these guys are members of the players' union. The players' union is, even in the cases of, like, these types of things, has a responsibility to protect their membership, right? And I'm not going to sit here and say that the problem is the players' union, because that's actually really important, and that's actually kind of what allows them to not get totally jobbed by owners, although we're seeing that, you know, if you look at Keuchel and Kimbrel still out there, you know, shows you that the owners are still jobbing the players as is. But the players' union has to protect players, and sometimes it's going to have to protect these types of things, but I think the only way within which that this is going to get solved is there has to be some sort of policy where the players' union and Major League Baseball come together to have some sort of zero tolerance policy. I can't see how either side wouldn't want that, right? Like, it doesn't look great to protect basic criminality.
Right, right. Especially violence against women, violence in the household. Like, I don't know, man. It's just the worst kind of most disgusting, like, scum of the earth type of behavior, man. And it just, yeah. I just wish that at least the suspensions would be more severe. At least a season, 2 seasons, really hurt these guys' pockets. You know, like, I don't know. 80 games sounds like nothing in baseball. Like, Addison Russell's back playing baseball, and that shouldn't even happen ever. Not with what the details and the facts that we know about Addison Russell's situation.
Not with what he's done. Yeah, not with what he's done. It makes it very tough to like kind of just watch this and think, what's the most important thing? Is it, you know, really, is it the bottom line, or is it basically that you have to do what's right? And it seems like the bottom line is kind of more what they're looking out for.
Right. It seems to be the recurring theme there. Let's move on to another serious issue. At the Astros Cubs game, Almora Jr. Hit a liner, and it struck a baby girl. She was rushed out of there to the hospital. From everything I hear, she's going to be okay. Just shook up. Almora was really shook up. I think everybody in that stadium was devastated. Last year at Dodger Stadium, a woman was there to celebrate her birthday and her anniversary. She was struck as well, and she passed away. That doesn't get reported as much, and it's kind of weird that it hasn't been reported as much.
Well, a guy was struck at Dodger Stadium last night, the Mets-Dodgers game.
Right, right, right.
He was okay. And look, it feels like most of the time, like, this doesn't happen. And, like, it happens how many times a season? Not many, right? It's not like people are – well, I shouldn't say not many. It happens, right? It doesn't happen every game, or it doesn't even happen every day in Major League Baseball where someone's seriously hurt by it, but by a ball that's hit hard. But someone is always, it's going to happen over the course of the seasons. And what's the answer to this? It's raise the netting. More of it.
It's just an unnecessary risk to not just put netting down the line or up the baseline a little bit. I mean, it's not that big a deal. We're seeing that at some ballparks, and from what I could tell, it doesn't obstruct much. I've sat behind home plate. It's not that much. It doesn't really bother your eyesight. And it saves his lives.
Yeah. And you know what? Sean Doolittle came out and actually said something, you know, to the effect of this today, where he's like, dude, it doesn't ruin the game. I mean, you ever watch you know, videos of the fans of it at a Japanese game?
Yeah.
They're really into it, and they have, I think, netting that extends all the way basically to from foul line to foul line.
Yes, sir.
And what's the problem there? Like, who's suffering from having that netting? Nobody is.
No, and I mean, we saw hockey do it. We saw the NHL do it behind the goals. They put netting because people were getting unnecessarily hurt. It's just unnecessarily liability risk. And I get it. Like, keep your head on a swivel. You're watching a major league game. This is prone to happen. But there's children in the stands as well, man. It's impossible to not be distracted at one moment or another in a baseball game, no matter how into it you are.
Yeah, but the other part too is like, look it out. We're in the era where StatCast is telling us how quickly the ball is coming off of basically every piece of contact.
Right.
I don't care if you're. Everybody says it's like, you know, it's, don't have kids that close to the like the reactionary response is like, well, just don't bring your kid, just don't have your kids sit that close to the field. Like, that's not it, right? Because there are balls coming into the out of fouled off that are coming in at 105 miles an hour. I'm sorry. Like most adults don't have reflexes quick enough to, even if they're paying attention, to get away at it from some of those. And you'll find that actually a lot of people hit aren't kids. They're adults, because there's always more adults at a baseball game than there are children. So it's there's a lot of bad arguments against it, and there's only good arguments for it. And like, I just don't quite get what people are trying to protect, you know, to accomplish here. Put the freaking nets up.
Yeah, man. And I mean, just, I mean, look at the devastation on not just, I mean, obviously the family, obviously the child, but I mean, like, the players. I mean, that's haunting, man. And he's just trying to do his job. Like, that fucking blows, dude. To stand in the outfield and think that you could have potentially killed the child and not know what's going on and act like catching a baseball fucking means anything, dude. Like, what?
You know, we often don't understand like what baseball players like can go through with injuring people in the crowd. Remember when Josh Hamilton threw a ball to a guy at Texas,
the fireman
who fell onto the field and he passed away.
Yeah, man.
And it's what did it do to a guy like Josh Hamilton? It set him off. It basically, you know, took him and crushed him. So
he relapsed like, his shit after that.
Yeah, so like that's a load to put on the players too. You don't want to put them in a situation where just for doing something like fouling a ball off, something that they're going to do, something that every Major League Baseball player does at least once a game is hit a foul ball, not necessarily a line drive, but a foul ball out of play, right? I think that's something that you can reasonably assess that most Major League Baseball players do once a game, once every two games, right? They shouldn't, with something that happens that regularly, that's a part of the game, you shouldn't put them in a position where like they're going to have recurring guilt.
Right. And again, it's a very easy remedy. It's a very simple solution. And there's, as you said, not one legitimate bad argument against it or good argument against it.
Yeah. Every argument you read against it's like, what are you going to, you're not going to string up the netting. So basically like something like a popped up foul ball doesn't enter the stands. Cause guess what? A popped up foul ball, that's not usually hit that hard. Those are easy to, you can see them coming. And if you catch it, great. You've got a souvenir. I caught a foul ball last year. I mean, I gave it to a kid cause I don't need a 15-cent baseball, but it's something like there's a way to do this where you don't take the joy out of catching a foul ball out of play. You just take the danger of getting hit by a 100-mile-an-hour screamer that you can't even react to out of the situation. Like, that to me really seems like a no-brainer.
No, I mean, I 100% agree, and hopefully at the end of the season, some talks are done, made amongst the owners and we get to see that happen, dude. We get to see some netting go. I'm not even saying even all the way down the line. We don't even have to go full on Japan, man. We can just go three quarters. I don't care. Like just enough to give people enough time to react, you know? I mean, if you hear Chris Bryant talking about it and how dangerous it is and like, yeah, you should do it. Like, dude, that guy plays third base. He fucking knows.
Yeah, he's getting balls. Like, he actually is getting balls hit at him a lot harder than the people are getting hit balls hit to them foul. And, like, he knows how frightening it is. It's the hot corner for a reason.
Yeah, man, I don't get it. I mean, it's not the DH. It's not a universal DH, man. It's not going to ruin the game. That's all. It's just stupid. Okay. It's just stupid.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to something that's a bit more joyful. We've gotten to watch a four-game series, three of the first four between the Mets and the Dodgers this week. Obviously, always fun to at least talk when we see our teams actually play against each other in what have been actually some relatively tight games. I mean, the Dodgers are definitely the better team, and you can see why, because they do all three phases of the game better. Both teams have... Like, so this is my question for you. I haven't watched the Mets for 3 games. You see where they could actually be good, but you also just see everything that they've done wrong as far as building out their team beyond the core.
Right. And the decision making is bad.
It's very haphazard.
Very, yes, yes. How much do you think Mickey looks over the shoulder at Jim Riggleman?
The fact that it's Jim Riggleman, a guy who's like way below 500 in his career as a manager, tells you everything you need to know about the confidence in Mickey Callaway. Like, Jim Riggleman's not a good manager.
No, I don't think he is either.
So, it's just Mickey Callaway is a horrendous one.
Exactly.
Yeah, but like the rod extends beyond that because you agree with me that a team that basically has a core of Jeff McNeil, who obviously is injured at the moment, but
right. He's good.
A good baseball player.
Yes, sir.
Michael Conforto, Pete Alonso, and Ahmed Rosario. Like,
it's solid.
Very talented core. Especially when you start adding in the fact that you have, you know, Zach Wheeler, Jacob deGrom, and Noah Syndergaard, who's definitely underachieving at this point in the season for himself. Although he didn't pitch that badly last night, but... You look at that, and then you look over and see what the Dodgers have done, where they actually go out and build like an entire team where the pieces that they need for depth are significant. Like the Dodgers won't get knocked off of off their course if there's injuries because of the fact that they have such good depth. And you know, you look, if Jock Peterson's not playing well for a few games, you can go right to Kike Hernandez, right? You have. You know, Max Muncy in there who could do a lot of different things. Is Chris Taylor still there?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you have him. He could do a lot of different things. You have some really bona fide, you know, young talents like Alex Verdugo is really good. Walker Buehler is very, very good. And then there's Cody Bellinger.
I mean, he's something else this season. I mean, we saw it his rookie year, right? He came up pretty early in the year, and he hit 40 bombs, and we saw the power. We saw what it was. We saw season two. Everybody figured it out. In the playoffs, he struggled every time. This year, though, there is not a hole in his swing. He's patient. He can reach everything. He's not pressing. He's calm. He's confident. He's cool. And that cannot be said for the entire lineup. But, like, Cody Bellinger... Anytime he steps to the plate, it's like I feel like the league is more afraid of Cody Bellinger in this moment in time than they ever have been of Mike Trout. Like, he's that hot right now.
Oh, yeah. He is stupid. Like, Cody Bellinger right now through 54 games is a 5.3 WAR player.
Yeah, man. What's the second best in the league? Is it Trout? Do you know?
I think it's Mike Trout. Give me a second. I'll find this out.
And he's got to be like a 3-something.
Cody Bellinger at 5.3. Mike Minor at 3.7 is number two. And then it's Jorge Polanco, Mike Trout at 3.4. So, yeah, in short, he's been very, very, very good. 2.3 wins better than the next best player right now, who's shockingly Mike Minor, who's, I mean, he's having a good season pitching right now at the moment, but his 3.7 WAR is, seems a, it, it, that's a bit surprising.
No, I mean that's very surprising. You caught me off guard by that. But I mean that's still 2 games above the next best guy, Cody Bellinger is. And that's incredible. That's incredible. I mean the guy has 20 home runs. It's May 30th. 52 RBIs, 370. He was hitting 400 like 2 weeks ago still, man. Like everything he's do and let's talk about defense.
Oh yeah, no, he's got an incredible. You can't run on him,
bro. He
you can't.
is. He has 7 outfield assists. He made two in one game.
Two on Monday night. Two on Monday night. Yeah,
And
including one at the plate.
I was there
I
in
mean,
the flesh, and I didn't think he had a chance either time.
So you got to see the Kershaw DeGrom matchup that did not live up to its vintage.
No, and I'm kind of glad it didn't because it made it more fun.
Yeah, I mean, probably made the game about 25 minutes longer, but it was Memorial Day. I think you could live with it.
Oh, it was great. And Pete Alonso is a very strong man in person. Oh my God.
Oh yeah,
Like,
he can hit a baseball very, very, very far.
it's incredible. And I saw him get jammed something in on the hands and he hit like a moonshot that hit the top of the wall. It was incredible. I was like, there's no way. How? How? It's just pure strength.
Do you think he's basically the front runner for National League Rookie of the Year at this point?
I mean, he has to be, right?
It's on pace for 50 homers.
It's him. I mean, Verdugo just came up, so he's gonna play catch up, and I don't really see anybody else, not in the National League.
Chris Paddock?
Maybe he's been pitching really well. Nick Senzel's up.
Yeah, I mean, Senzel's been okay.
But it has to be Pete. I mean, if he can keep this up, he's consistent. Pete has to be an all-star if he keeps this up.
Oh, absolutely. Once again, going back to this, the Mets have two All-Stars because Michael Conforto is a top 10 player in the National League.
Can we talk about what happened to 4.5 ERA having Noah Syndergaard?
Doesn't have a slider. He has no break on his slider right now. So he doesn't have his out pitch. So for a strikeout pitcher who's having trouble finding the out pitch that's made him the dangerous pitcher that he is, like it's gonna be hard. I mean, look, I know he's got that 100-mile-an-hour fastball that he can pitch off of, and last night he gutted it out with it, even though, you know, he got hit hard in spots, but everybody at the major league level can hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at this point if they know it's coming.
Yeah, man, especially good teams like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But okay, so what are your thoughts of him saying that the Dodgers are stealing signs?
I think that that's kind of trash that he's saying it. Pitch better.
I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, first off,
Everybody in baseball steals signs if they can. It's
right.
a baseless accusation.
Absolutely. But I think for him to say throwing a 94 mile an hour fastball up and in, and how did they get around on his fastball up and in, like they had to be cheating, it's like, dude, that's disrespectful as shit. Like, that's the best offense in the game. Well, we'll get to the best offense in the game. But
Yeah, we'll get to the top end
that's
of
the
the game.
best offense in the National League. Like, God, don't, that's just mad. Like, he's in denial. He can't
Very
look in
much
the
so.
mirror and say, I'm fucking up a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of. I think the issue that he has is he's developed what is known as a thin skin.
Ah, that's not gonna fly there, man.
No, I honestly don't actually think he's gonna be there. I don't think he's gonna be. I don't think he's gonna be there for much longer. I have a sneaking suspicion that he's gonna get traded.
This year.
I think the Mets are gonna fall out of it and make some dumb moves.
I could see that.
Like I think that I don't think trading Syndergaard is a dumb move, right? If you can get something in return for him, that's good. But this is a franchise that doesn't want to eat money, so you know they're not gonna be willing to take on anything except for a bunch of prospects who are very far from the majors.
Yeah, no, I mean it's kind of been the MO, and that kind of sucks. So I could see why you're not too confident in that. But I mean, the longer they keep Mickey, then it's just gonna. You guys got to make a change, I think, in order to even contend, like to even make a run.
Yeah,
Like,
but
think about it, man. You're not that far out of the wild card. You're not that far out. Like you guys can still make a run. It's early.
it is. That's why I don't want to give. That's why I'm not saying that they should sell immediately. But like, there's some things that they got to do to actually compete. Like, one of them is if the Mets are serious about competing, they need to sign Craig Kimbrell, like now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the same could be said for the Dodgers. I really need them. I mean, not to compete, but to really get us over the top. We need to solidify that bullpen. That's our one Achilles heel, and it's killing us.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Bullpens in Major League Baseball right now, it's the biggest crapshoot possible. But Kimbrel's also got the most saves in Major League history of anybody at his age. So, like, if you're going to talk about the concept of, like, you want the closest thing to a sure thing, it's him.
Yeah.
Like, of the two big name free agents out there, I think Kimbrel's more transformative than Keuchel.
Yeah, and I think it's more likely that he finds a team sooner than Keuchel. And I mean, I could see Keuchel sitting out the whole year at this point. I mean,
I think he'll be a Yankee within the next week. They need the pitching. They can pay him. There's actually a really good article that I'd recommend with this. David Roth from Deadspin chronicled what you could be doing while waiting for your team to sign Craig Kimbrel or Dallas Keuchel. And he goes through exactly the draft pick that you'd have to give up and like the best player taken in those spots. And like, I don't know, it's like Mark Grayson, Pat Henkin. If you're not willing to sign Craig Kimbrel or Dallas Keuchel because you're afraid of losing the next, you know, Pat Hankin or Mark Grace, like what are we doing here?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, like those guys are not those. I mean, Pat Hankin was a decent baseball player. Mark Grace was a decent baseball player. Mark Grace was you know, as good as you could possibly want if you wanted a first baseman who played like Keith Hernandez. The problem was he played during the steroid era.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, Mark Grace was a good ball player. He
Good
just
ball player.
wasn't anything special, and he didn't have any pop.
Yeah, I mean, he was Rafael Palmeiro until Rafael Palmeiro decided to juice.
That's exactly what he was.
Yeah. Down to the fact that both of them even played for the
That's
Cubs.
why the Cubs went for Mark Grace, because it was just like, boom, you're replacing Palmeiro here. Boom, it's perfect. This
You're
fits. This is what I
replacing
want. This is what I
Palmeiro.
want out of first base. Slap the
Yeah.
ball around.
We want you to hit between 275 and 290 with about 12 homers and 75 RBIs and absolutely no speed.
No, 23 doubles because you can't run.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's Mark Grace in a nutshell. Consistent though.
Very consistent. He was a good baseball player. I'd hardly call him, you know, great, but he was a good baseball player.
All
Now,
right, let's talk about good baseball. Let's talk about the best offense in the game.
the best team in the game at the moment.
Let's talk about my Minnesota Twins.
37 and 17. And the thing that makes me think it's for real is the plus 112 run differential. Like, run differential is a pretty good indicator of how strong a team is. And that plus 112 is the best in the majors by 20 runs.
Yeah, that's impressive, man.
I mean, barring catastrophe, they've already won their division
Yeah.
because they're already 9.5 games up. It's the biggest lead in any division in baseball, and it's pretty obvious that they're probably, you know, going to actually hang around. The thing that was going to be the question was always going to be their pitching. Juan Berrios for years has had the ability to put it together as a potential ace, and he's done that. And they've gotten more out of you know, the guys in the middle of their staff than anybody could possibly have envisioned, in particular Jake Odorizzi and Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, Odorizzi really surprised me, man. I didn't see this from him in the past. I didn't really see him be as consistent as he's been, but he really seems to have figured it out this year, and he's not getting hit hard. The contact seems to be pretty weak on a consistent basis, and he's getting pretty deep into games too.
He is. I mean, the key for him is always just the fact that you know that he's not gonna overwhelm or wow anybody, right?
Right.
He's a pitch to contact guy. You've been to that park. I've been to that park. It's a place that if you pitch to contact, like you'll be okay.
You could survive.
You can survive. And the fact is, he's actually kind of actually if actually he's looked, he's upped his K rate to not, he's actually striking out more guys per nine than Berrios.
Really?
Yeah.
That's deceptive because he doesn't have overpowering stuff, man. That's
No,
great. That's
he
a nice little
doesn't. Yeah.
stat. But those are the types of things that have to happen for the Twins pitching wise to have this kind of season.
Oh, yeah. And Martin Perez has been actually really good, too. He's actually so. I think Martin Perez is actually trying the Mariano Rivera tactic of just throwing your cutter to death. Only he's actually doing it as a starter.
Yeah, I mean Kenley's having success at hitting relief right now, emulating that. But as a starter, it's a little tougher going through that lineup a few times, man.
Yeah, and they should feast on that division because it is quite bad. I mean, Cleveland's the next best team in that division, and that team has looked a bit cooked for a while.
Yeah, it's just sputtering. Like, but the offense. Let's talk about the offense real quick.
I mean, it's led by Eddie Rosario's been fantastic.
Yeah, man. Eddie Rosario at the helm. We're talking right
Jorge
here.
Jorge Polanco has been really good.
Beautiful, man. Top 1% in WOBA as a team. Top 1% in barrel percentage. Top 1% in expecting batted average. Top 1% in expecting sluggage. That's why they are where they are.
They also have the most Williams Estadillas in baseball.
And he is a beautiful man.
Yeah. I actually want to... His K rate still remains alarmingly low. So he struck out 3 times in 93 at-bats this year.
That's incredible this day and age, man. And he has pop. He hits the ball hard. It's not like he's hitting, you know, slapping the ball around. He squares it up pretty good, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not a guy who's playing every day for them. But he's kind of fun to watch. If you look at their everyday players, though, there are some guys there who just hit a ton. Right. I mean, we still talk about Rosario. How about Max Kepler, CJ Cron, Jonathan Scoop? These guys have they've all just pounded the baseball. They've done this with Nelson Cruz injured. They've gotten Miguel Sano back recently. Sano, another guy who falls into squarely into the you need to be a better person camp.
Yes, yes.
But I mean, there's tools there to have a really, really good offense. Do you think that they're actually a World Series contender?
I would like to see that. I think they are at least an LCS good. And then if you get there, it's just about being healthy and being hot. I mean, the Astros now are looking a little bad, but everybody's on the DL. So, like, this is the time that people have to capitalize, make sure you get home field and all those types of things while the Astros struggle a little. But I think that it's capable. They're a capable team. I think LCS is a lock if they can stay healthy and continue to play this way, because it's really incredible what they're doing. And yeah, man, if they can keep pitching like this and then they get to the playoffs in a cold weather ballpark, it's all good. It's all good. I think they're going to be good, man.
Yeah. So, you know, if you go to the Astros, they actually have the one player who I think I'd put up against Bellinger this season, at least offensively. Defensively, he's nowhere near, but George Springer.
Yeah. George Springer has really turned the corner this year. I mean, we've seen it starting to bud and starting to blossom the last couple of years. I mean, the World Series against the Dodgers a couple of years ago, he absolutely destroyed us. And then this year, he's just turned it up to that level nonstop. And he's a fun player to watch. Defensively, like you said, he's not as good as Cody Bellinger, nowhere near. But on the offensive side of the ball, he's really, really firing on all cylinders. And he has been consistently throughout the year. MVP, think, in that league so far?
I mean, I think he got it. Him or Rosario, maybe. Or I mean, Trout's in that conversation, too, even though the Angels are...
trash.
Horrific. It's tough to see a team that has Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani be so bad.
And it sucks to know that he's stuck there for an eternity because he just signed a deal and it's just, this is what it's going to be. It's not going to get better.
No, it's not going to get better. I mean, but that is what it is because of the fact that what happens to that franchise when he leaves?
They better hope they drafted another one.
Yeah. But, you know, since the last time we've also spoken, if we're sticking the NL West... the Seattle Mariners they're back.
They came back to Earth.
They've actually gone.
They've gone south. They're past Earth.
That's way beyond coming back to Earth. They're like what happens if the moon exploded and the tides flooded us.
Yeah, they're bad at baseball, man. No doubt about it. They were better when Ichiro was on the team. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well. I mean, that was the first 3 games of the season. I have to probably agree with you. But, I mean, if you look around, I mean, what else are the real surprises to you in the league right now? Like, what are you shocked about and what are you not shocked about?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think surprises. I'm surprised to see, how close the AL East still is. I'm surprised to see where the Rays still are. I didn't think they were going to compete as well as they have. They've been lucky with health and injuries to some of the teams and the bad start for the Red Sox, but I still think the AL East is pretty good. Pretty surprising that it's as competitive as it is. The Twins, for sure. I'm a little surprised at how bad the NL Central is. I thought the top teams there, maybe Cleveland was going to be good. I thought that these guys were going to be good, the Twins. I don't know. It's just really bad. Really bad baseball. In the NL, the Reds are worse than I anticipated. I thought the Puig was going to be better. I thought Winkler was going to be better. I don't know what's happened to Joey Votto, but he's a shell of himself. That's really disappointing.
And yet they're still somehow in contention.
Yeah, but you don't see it. Like the numbers tell you so, but when you watch them, they really are a bad baseball team.
No, they are. But if you run down the NL Central for a minute, so you got the Cubs sitting at the top of the division, who are good, but once again, there's a glaring hole, which is beyond basically Lester and Kendrick at the moment. None of their starters can get outs.
Right.
You have the Brewers, who, aside from Zach Davies, none of their starters can get outs. You have the Pirates, who are who just can't pitch at all. You have the Cardinals, who, they're the Cardinals, who are just not that good. And you have the Reds. Like, there's question marks in this division.
Yeah, there is. I mean, but the Cubs have been pretty consistent recently. The Brewers still have Christian Yelich. It's hard to bet against the Brewers in that division, man.
It really is. Yelich is really good. They've shown that they'll add when they need to. Went out and signed Gio Gonzalez, which fills at least a hole in their rotation. But they're good enough to win that division. And I think probably both of these teams are probably going to end up in the playoffs in some capacity, because if you look around the rest of the National League, there's a lot of teams that just don't kind of stand out to you.
No, I think the National League, it's looking like the Dodgers, and that's pretty much it. I mean, the Phillies have been pretty okay, and right now they look like the favorites in the East. The Brewers, we saw last year that they contend, they can be there. They took us to the limit there, and I think I would probably expect a repeat for the LCS of Dodgers Brewers, because I think they're the best teams in the NL.
Yeah, and then, doing the same thing if we go back into the AL for a second, so I just didn't throw a comment out there that's going to drive me nuts, but I have to give credit where due, which is if the Mets, have the amount of injuries that the Mets do this year, they make a ton of excuses and don't win baseball games. The team across town has Giancarlo Stanton and Mike Judge injured for And Aaron Judge, Mike Judge, is the guy who directed King of the Hill and Office Space.
Also an awesome contributor to Society. So
yeah.
I mean, just as important in my life.
A particular favorite movie. I am pro Mike Judge.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, if you look, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are out, and what do? They just win games. Luis Severino's out. What do they do? They just win the games. Like, they're a team that actually plays, without pity for themselves and just finds ways through. And, you know, I don't like it, but I respect it.
Do we have to actually say that Aaron Boone is a good, manager?
It looks like he might be.
That's pretty surprising. I was not thinking he was ever going to amount to much there, to be honest.
But you know, they have a good system. You know what? The Yankees, this always happens. It's the most scrutinized managerial position in baseball is always going to be the manager of the Yankees.
Yes.
Right? It just is. Right? So Joe Torre, scrutinized constantly. But you know what? He's got 4 rings.
Yeah. You can't argue with it.
Yeah. Joe Girardi, scrutinized constantly. He's won a World Series. Right? It's not the type of thing where you give these teams so much talent that they're just going to win. Like, they have to actually go out there and do it. We've seen so many teams with a lot of talent go flame out. It just so happens that, you know what, maybe these guys and maybe the way in which this franchise operates is a winning franchise.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's hard to argue with it. They haven't finished below 500 in a quarter century.
Yeah. No, I mean, like you said, it's really hard to argue. They're consistent about being competitive, and that's all you can really ask for. I want to touch on something before we wrap everything up. The Blue Jays are an exciting team. We're seeing Vladdy Jr. We're seeing Kevan Biggio. Bichette's boy's about to come up. He's injured now, but he's due to come up. How important do you think this experience this year is? This is a throwaway. But if they can make some moves, get some pitching with that core of young players, how threatening do you see the Blue Jays becoming in the next 2-3 years?
It's going to take a while. And the issue for them is the fact that that division's loaded.
Yeah.
All right. The Red Sox, if the Red Sox have a down year this year, you know they're going to come back next year.
Absolutely.
Because that's just what the Red Sox have basically been built to do.
Especially if Liverpool win that. Especially if Liverpool win the Champions League and John has all that money to blow.
Oh, God, but now you're going to – anybody listening to this is now going to think that free agent signings between Liverpool and the Red Sox are linked.
They're cooking the books.
It's the type of thing where they're just going to – it's not a team that has accepted not competing. And it's not to say that they're not competing right now because, you know, if you look at what they're doing, you know, they're slightly over 500.
Right.
The run differential is in their favor. If they can get healthy and get everything in kicking, you know – they'll really have, you know, a shot. And guess what? They're sitting in the second wild card spot right now. So
yeah.
I mean, if it was the end of the day, they'd still have a shot to play. They'd have to go up against Blake Snell probably because the Rays occupy that second spot. But it's just basically, when going back to the Blue Jays, I mean, you could also throw Lourdes Gurriel into that mix of young talent
they have
that's very good. But I think that they're – the pitching outside of the fact that they have two high talent reclamation projects in Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman. Stroman's actually having a really good year, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
But and I always have an affinity to Stroman because, you know, he's a Long Island guy and I'm from Long Island, so I always, you know, I will root for local players as long as they don't play for a direct rival. But you know, Stroman is he's having a good season. Sanchez has been very up and down, but other than that, they don't have a lot of guys who get outs. I don't know what the pitching situation is like in their farm system, but I do that they have these really good position players coming up. So yeah, there's reason to be excited. It just might not. I just don't think that it's, you know, 2 years away because there's so much that they have to develop at a pitching level, and it's also, you know, Toronto is not exactly a team that's notorious for spending a ton.
That's right? The thing. I think they have to be committed to spend in order to maximize the window because they have these guys under contract right now. Like, they don't have to spend the money on that young core at this moment. So if they really wanted to try, they'd have to do the investing in the pitching side and things like that. But like you said, it's not really what they've been known for. So
Yeah, it's also the fact that they have to overpay too, because, you know, remember, it's the same issue that, you know, the team we're seeing in the NBA Finals tonight has. It's Canada's taxation system is different than the U.S. It's higher taxes. And if you're getting paid a lot of money and you have a choice between the place where you can not pay taxes and do so, right? This is a disclaimer. This is not a political advertisement towards dodging taxes. I happen to believe strongly in taxation as a personal political stance, but that is neither here nor there in this. But you're going to pick the place where if you have a lot of money, you're getting taxed less because you get to keep more. That's why often if you look at, you know, what Houston has a built-in competitive advantage because of the fact that Texas doesn't – Houston and
Florida,
Florida and the Rangers. Yeah, but neither Florida team spends, so it's not –
Yeah, really I guess that's true.
Yeah. But if you look at this, like, it's a built-in advantage for the Texas teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you got to be willing to spend, and those teams have been, and the Astros have been really smart about it.
Yeah, I mean, the Astros also took three seasons off of playing.
It paid off, huh?
It paid off, but it comes down to
the trust the process.
If you look at what is going on in baseball right now, there's tons of teams tanking, and teams are treating the draft as, you know, as like the only way to kind of get talent right now. So if you look through the American League and the National League, if you look in the National League right now, you could really easily say that there's not that many teams tanking, right? But the ones who are being really egregious about it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, San Francisco and Miami. I'd accuse the Nationals of tanking, but I don't think they are. I just think that they've built the worst bullpen like in the history of baseball.
They're so bad.
That bullpen is amazing to watch because of the fact that I saw them blow four straight games against the Mets, and it was phenomenally fun. I still retain my absolute dislike for that team.
We all do.
Yeah. But
it's weird. We love the Expos. We hate the Nationals. It's so weird.
But then you go to the American League, and all right, you have Texas was trying to tank before the season, but haven't been that effective at it because nobody could have banked upon the fact that Hunter Pence, Mike Minor, and Sin Soo Chu would have renaissance years, right?
Right. But
they were trying to tank.
Yeah.
This season, right.
The Orioles are trash.
I don't know if the Orioles are trying to tank or if they're trash. They're trash. The White Sox trying to tank, but actually it turns out that some of the young players that
have talent.
Yeah, just, you know, Yoan Moncada and Lucas Giolito figuring out that they're actually good baseball players with a decent pedigree really has helped. And by the way, talk about Giolito. This guy looked like he was completely lost. He was the best pitching prospect in the game at one point. You see what he's done lately?
Yeah, he's been amazing.
Really good.
I thought he was mentally just zapped, bro. I didn't think he had it.
He's gained like 2 miles an hour back on his fastball. I think that like the team started, both the Nationals and I guess the White Sox tried to tinker with mechanics so much. And, you know, now I think this year, before this year, I think they simplified his mechanics a lot. And now he's generating tons of swings and misses, which is not a thing that he's been very good at. But then, you know, let's keep going through the teams that are tanking. The Angels are tanking. They don't know that they are, but they're tanking. The Mariners successfully tanking.
Tigers.
The Tigers not even remotely trying. And you have to question, you know, what the last few trade chips they have, and really the last one they have is Matthew Boyd. And it's not really going to be a question of if, but when, it seems like, for him.
And how much are they really going to get for him? You know, like, he's not elite. He's not
good. He's a number three starter.
That's what I'm saying. The Royals are god awful.
The Royals are seriously tanking. The Royals have, I mean, it's what they have a few players that they've tried to bring through. Who, I mean, Adalberto Mondesi has been okay.
I love his dad. That's all I got.
I know you love his dad. One of the strongest outfield arms I ever saw.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. But like, he's been okay.
He's been okay.
Yes,
they called up Nicky Lopez, who's been okay.
yeah.
I mean, Hunter Dozier has been actually very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Merrifield's been good.
Merrifield's very good. I like Whit Merrifield. I mean, Whit Merrifield's a player though. I think they're good. He's what, give me 29? I think 28 or 29. that to me screams so he's going to get moved to a team that needs a leadoff hitter that's competitive.
Yeah, because, I mean, he has one payday left, and they're not going to give it to him.
So, yeah, I mean, nobody is taking Kansas City.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think basically before we close out, there is one thing that there is one player we do have to give a special shout out to on this podcast, being that it is the Anfield Index, an Anfield Index related or Anfield Index family podcast. The Braj up in Colorado.
Oh, man. And then the Colorado Twitter used a photo of Brendan Rodgers in a tweet when they called him up, and I just lost my shit. We're living in a world that they shouldn't be intersecting like this.
They shouldn't be intersecting like this too, but you know what? They've also done a really good he's their top prospect, right? And the idea is they've wanted to play him at second base. But they brought him up, and now they're basically he's hitting 300, by the way.
Yeah, he's good.
30 at bats. He's hitting 300, and they're joking him around by not giving him consistent playing time.
Which is just seems so detrimental if that's your top prospect.
You just want him to play games. Have him play games. Like if you're not going to play him in the majors, get him more at bats at AAA.
I don't think
that was going to do anything for him because I think he's outgrown that level.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're not giving him any at bats or it's consistent at bats, then it's detrimental to his development. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. It's not a team like the Dodgers that rotates and you get your at bats here or there, or you'll pinch hit in the game. Everybody gets two at bats depending on who's pitching and what changes have been made. Like the Rockies are not that type of baseball team.
No, I mean you're playing your entire game, and
you might pinch it.
That's how they manage it. That's how they manage it, and it makes sense because of the fact that also probably the fact that you need to maintain your bench bats for as often as possible in Colorado because of the fact that
you can't
pitchers
pitch.
Don't go deep there.
Yeah, no, you make a valid point. It all makes sense.
There's only one pitcher who actually works in that entire Colorado system right now, which is Herman Marquez, because of the fact that he actually misses bats, but. I mean, that's a tough place to pitch. It's impossible. I mean, look at Kyle Friedland. Last year was really good. This year he's been atrocious.
It's just really hard to maintain that level. You'll have the strange years and the anomalies, but it doesn't work like that, man. It's just really tough.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember the brief period in time where Ubaldo Jimenez looked like the best pitcher in baseball?
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah. Was he started off half a season, I think 15-2.
He was really good, and then he ended up being really bad.
And is he still in Baltimore?
I hope he's retired by now.
I gotta tell you, I don't watch Baltimore Orioles games because of the fact that like I have some standards.
Yes, good. If that's the case, go watch a double A game somewhere live.
Yeah, it's unwatchable team.
Same quality. It's the same for me with the Marlins. You have to watch them because you play them a lot, but I don't watch Marlins games. I just don't.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that you bring this up because you know what has happened in the last 2 weeks, right?
With?
The Florida Marlins have swept the New York Mets in a series.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up, but yeah.
I mean, it's baseball. Baseball's weird. That happens. Especially also when one team, you know, when it's a mediocre team playing against a terrible team, sometimes the terrible team does beat the mediocre team.
Yes. Actually, more often than it should in baseball, it sucks.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we'll put it this way. I still think that if the Mets don't go at least 12-6 against the Marlins this year, I'm gonna be very upset.
You're going to be upset either way. I know you.
Well, no, there's ways within which I'll be happy. It's just that the Mets are just not capable of delivering them to me.
Oh, man, let's hope Liverpool do, because you need it. You need it.
I can use it.
I do, too. Good God. Hey, man, but you got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Me neither, man. That was a lot of fun. Everybody, yeah. I know we're not able to do this as often as we'd like. We both had an anniversary recently. We've both been really busy. Somebody went to Europe. It's one of those things. But we'll try to get back at you as soon as possible. We have something to take care of this Saturday, though, and we're going to be pretty preoccupied with that.
Very preoccupied with it.
All right, everybody. Take care of yourselves, and we'll chat soon. I know this is for a different podcast, but nevertheless, up the fucking Reds. Oh.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.